Hey Mallory, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Sorry about that false alarm yesterday.
Oh, that's fine. I mean, they have reason to be suspicious.
But still, I was like, oh, that guess I should have told them to check all of their folders again, but
Right.
I would have
People get
assumed
annoyed when you
that.
tell them that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I said to like I did write to Caval and said like the same thing and was like, by the way, like Trove apparently ended up finding theirs, and so I assume maybe they all use Outlook and something changed or something. I guess I'll give them another minute before I start harassing. Oh, there's Curry. Yeah. I'll harass them too early. Hey, Kurt.
Hey, how's it going? Sorry I'm late. Realized it was time. I went to go to my calendar. Then it's like, oh, Google Calendar decided to sign you out for, it does it every now and again. So I had to sign back in and get like.
Oh yeah, no worries. And this is hardly late. That's what I was saying. I was like, wait, I should give them a few minutes before I bother them. Hey, Jason.
Hey, sorry, I did that thing where it's like 8:37 and you blink and it somehow it's way past nine.
Okay, so I think it's just us. We can just go through some updates, and then there's like a couple different errors I think we should touch base on as well. But let us see. Ian, you get to go first.
Cool. Let's see. In progress, I think this is exception reporting is done. I'm just writing up some documentation in a rare move before I close this. Since if we want to use this somewhere else, so that's done. System email for Trove. I saw that you gave me a go ahead for that, so I'll change that. I'm just gonna change it directly in the database because it did take a long time to run through all that.
Thank you.
The other ones are new. Oh, can we look at 175? That was the one everyone was talking about yesterday. I was kind of working on other stuff mostly, but I just want to see if Jakob had a request here. Yeah, okay. So he wants me to find the duplicates and modify the ID. Okay. Anyway, so there's a bunch of duplicates, and we need to clean them up and then add a constraint so it doesn't keep happening. That's what this is about.
Yeah, I tried to follow that thread yesterday, and I wasn't really sure exactly.
And my understanding is that there's no rule in the broker that says you can't create two requests with the same request ID key. And so Alma was sending two requests like in succession and it was creating two. But then it was getting wonky because updates would go to two different requests and things would generally
Right.
misbehave after that. I don't know. Maybe Kurt and Jason understand it better than I.
I guess I know that you found like there was like 189 of these, and then but there were only three that weren't already that were incomplete. So
Right.
does that mean that like on a practical, like from the user perspective, like there's only three that are going to be problematic for them, or like is that not really what that means?
I don't know why the other 186 are closed. I mean, maybe they've failed somehow, or they were user canceled, or whatever. I'm not sure how they got to be how they are. I mean, I guess we have an audit trail to look at. I just haven't looked at any of these.
Okay. Yeah, I just wasn't sure if there was like if there was 189 that were gonna have like a change applied to them or something, and then yeah.
There are, but I think we're making the assumption that for the ones that are closed, no one's ever going to look at them again.
Okay. Yep, I see what you're saying. Okay. Thank you for working on this one that sounded kind of bonkers. But I don't know why it almost ends too, but what's new?
But we should also not, you know, you should be able to send another request and have it fail smart. You know,
Right.
fail
Yep.
smart, whatever. Okay.
Right. Thanks, Ian. Oh, and I added this. This doesn't have like a until we do the next upgrade, it doesn't really matter. And I don't know when that's going to be. We're meeting with Trove next week to discuss like what the future of Kate like future cadence and what's outstanding that we are, you know, kind of contractually agreed to do. But anyway, we don't want to overwrite this setting anymore because sometimes they make local changes to the default loan period. And so I don't know if we just want quit configuring that setting since, you know, we can add it one off when we're creating new tenants, or if we can just not set it if a setting already exists or something like that. So anyway, this is kind of up to you. I don't care.
I have sort of a pattern for posting these things, but where I overwrite it. But if it, this sounds to me, I guess what I'm trying to say is it sounds to me like reference data then. So, is there a value that would make sense to make the default for ModRS and set it in reference data? And then that way it wouldn't get clobbered every time. But I guess what I'm saying is move it out of this tenant Trove tenant configuration if it's not something that we're actually setting to them, or does that make no sense? I don't know. Is this universal enough to be in reference data?
I think it might just be simpler to remove it from
What is the default value actually?
Now that there is one.
No, like this is I think we created this for Trove, this setting,
Okay.
because the reason we did this is that they don't have NSIP, so nothing is returned from the there's nothing in return from the ILS to set a due date, and they also had no way to set a due date until we also added that functionality. And so now there's like a default one, and they can override it if they so desire. But like we applied this, they said that for, you know, 300 of the 315 tenants, 8 weeks or 56 days or whatever is the appropriate loan
Right.
period for Trove, but like that's not going to be consistent like across other consortium and even
Is
across
this
their own. Yeah.
going forward for people that aren't Trove, is this something that like is turned off, like some feature flag or something that's turned off, or
Well, that
what is
app
this?
setting just has no value. So if there's no default due
Okay,
date,
yeah,
it doesn't use
that's what
it.
I was
So
wondering.
basically, it's just
So
like before it would only use the due date from NSIP. And
yeah.
now it'll use the due date from NSIP, or actually, it'll use the one you provide when you perform the check-in action. If not, it'll use the one from NSIP. And if not, it'll use the one from this default setting if there is one.
Okay.
Now, I think by not having kind of a default, then we've made the default infinity. There is no due date. So I think probably no one will be super sad if they're. Is like I think an 8 week loan period is still probably preferable to no loan period, maybe.
Right.
As a, what do you think, Mallory? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess like you probably wouldn't want it to not have to be infinity, I think doesn't sound right.
Right, so that's where we're at right now, right? Like
Right.
the default loan period would only be used if there wasn't a value from NSIP. Unless there's a bug, maybe we should test that. But I believe whoever did this would have done it with that in mind. Maybe it was me. I can't really remember. So the anyone that's currently using it, they'd only run into it if their NSTEP didn't provide a value for due date, in which case they probably would be happier with 8 weeks rather than the current situation where there's no due date. So having that for the moderate default probably does make sense.
Right. So in that, if that's what's going to happen, then I'm just going to remove it from the playbook because they would get a default when we install, or and it wouldn't clobber then, right? Cool.
When a new one is installed, but like no existing one that didn't have one will get one as a result of this update, probably.
Right. Yeah, that's true, but they're already set. The problem was that I was setting it to, whatever the 56, but then people were going and changing it, and then we would rerun the to tenant configuration playbook, and it would, or whatever it is, action, and then it would change their setting.
I mean, it also would make sense to have that script check if there's an existing value and only.
Yeah, I mean that's just a what's the opposite of syntax? Not opposite. That's just a choice, I guess. I had originally made these so that it would enforce settings, but if it's customizable, then it shouldn't really go. Yeah, then I would have to change it so it does that, I guess. So it doesn't enforce the value, which is
Yeah.
fine too, but I guess it would be easier to not do that if it's going to be a default.
Probably, but like just in a general situation that we currently don't have a notion of a consortial setting, which we really need, this is kind of how we're implementing those.
Right.
And so even if we don't do it in this case, we'll probably eventually have to do something like that where you want to change from the old consortial setting to the new consortial setting. Unless they've chosen a custom local value, and at which point we leave that alone. So,
Yeah, there's no sort of like hierarchical inheritance. We're just enforcing that, or not enforcing, but just setting that as a
So,
script.
but we could probably hack it in that way if we wanted to, and it'll probably happen sooner or later. But
Okay.
yeah, if we can avoid it for now, I don't know. I'm
So
fine to change it.
who's gonna make that default a default in Moder S?
Have we decided we're doing that?
So,
I decided it was plausible.
I thought that's what we just decided, that we would set a reference data to be 56 days in Moder S, since right now it's infinite.
Easy enough to do, right? We could just make a quick issue for it. No, I could take it.
It should be a one line change. There's like settings data or something. You just put that as the default value. So.
Do you want me to do that, or are you guys?
No, I can. No, I mean, it's right
All
in the. I can change it.
right,
Just.
cool.
Any of us could have done this in way less than the time we just spent talking
Right,
about
cool. All right, well,
it. We
great.
just
We'll
need
do
to know that
that.
that's
I'll take
okay,
care of
that
the.
someone's not going to be sad about
Well,
their losing their non-due.
do you want to make a new issue, or do you just want to add a note to this one, sign it to me, like, and then reassign this one to me? I mean, or how do you want to handle
We
it?
can do that.
All right.
That might be simpler.
Sure, when you're
just
done, instead of
gonna.
closing it, just give it back to me, and I'll pull it out of the whatever the
Okay.
playbook. Thanks.
Thank you. Ian, anything else?
Nope. There's a whole bunch of weird errors from that thing that we set up, so I guess I'll try to figure out what that's about.
Yeah, I was gonna ask you if you wanted a ticket. Like I was trying to scroll back to like the last one that we had, and I like there's a lot, so I
I'll
wasn't
open
sure.
one. I'll take a look. I was looking through logs, or preparing to look through logs, and then hopefully I can add some context to a ticket.
Okay. Thank you very, very much. That'll be great.
Yeah, it seemed like that paid off. Wow. Good thing we were watching.
Probably happens like every night.
Yeah, exactly. It has been the whole time, right? Though I do wonder, if there's a situation where we are redeploying or restarting or something, would there be it probably doesn't happen all simultaneously. And so there might be tenants that have started to restart, and there's other tenants that are trying to connect to them. Like, could that be?
That could be
That
a
probably
problem
isn't just.
if the module became unavailable. I'm not sure. It's fairly easy to tell. I think someone's knocking on my door. It's fairly easy to tell, but from Kubernetes when it restarted last, so I'll check that.
Because we might want to do something to handle that more gracefully in the log so that it doesn't pop up. Or like to suppress alerting on logs when we know we're restarting because those are going to be noisy or something. Because it's different in a case when we know we're tearing things down than we don't. Although of course it would be nice if we did it, if that was something that was able to happen gracefully somehow.
I guess I just don't know what that error is about. I suspect, well, here, let me get the thing up. I suspect that it wasn't a
I guess
reason.
like regardless of what that's about, the process of doing a planned restart should somehow be able to happen without logging a bunch of timeouts and stuff. I don't
And
know how
I
we can
think
have
that's
that
already the
gracefully.
case, though. This
Okay,
is
good.
running for 5 days, so it wasn't a restart.
Okay.
I guess we'll see next time, I restart it, or maybe I'll just knock it over right now since no one's on, and we can see if it logs a bunch of crap, but I don't think it will.
Cool. And yeah, it did seem like aside from the connection errors, there are a bunch of other things there too. So that's fun.
The broker thing that Jakob added. Or
No, we
what?
also said something about the timer task had some issue, and then there was,
Oh,
I can't remember. There were at least like two or three of them
yeah.
beyond the.
Well, yeah.
Now, if only this scripting had a way to collapse similar errors into threads.
That might be a little advanced for me. Right now, it's just matching a subscription and sending that. I don't know if it's worthwhile, making a whole bunch of logic to.
No, we just need to fix it,
Yep.
and then we'll if we fix the noisy one, then the other ones will show up better. Plus, yeah, we could just go into the logs and search for exception if we want a more reasonable view.
Yeah, I mean, it's just it's like a Lambda with a script, so it's not like a built-in log collapser option or anything to tweak like that. It's just all kind of hand done.
It's probably using less Amazon spend as a result.
Yeah, well, yeah, I hope so. I mean, I set it up to filter so it only sends the logs that are errors that match a pattern to the Lambda, so it should be cheap, to run it. However, it won't be a cost, yeah, to do that.
And I think our log files are getting paid about as much as any of us. So. That's encouraging, at least.
So what else has gone on, Jason? How are things going?
So that was the there. There was that weird label from the standard with the typo that got enshrined there, and we wanted to correct that, but we kept the vocabulary as standard in case somehow that was part of the closed code, and that I wasn't sure about the label. So changing that one character meant we had to change this vocabulary for copyright type from being just using a label that was stored in the ref data on RS because that's not translated. And we couldn't just have the override for Trove there. And also, so to, and then putting the translations into the translation file and getting it on the front end. Except switching it to do that also meant, so I had a handy helper for doing that already for some other situation where we did probably the service level because they wanted to have standard of core, something like that. But to use that helper, I had, it was also one that was filtering. And I decided to make the filtering part optional. And also the copyright used to happen by ID. And that helper had it happening by value, which ModRF should support. And that was cleaner. So I went that way. And then somehow the default didn't show up properly. So I had to, anyways, this was a lot of hassle to change one character, but I made it work and now everything is better. And that's nice. But yeah, the visible results should just be changing one character. But I guess if you're, well, QAing that issue, also check that, yeah, the default copyright type dropdown is indeed populated and has a default.
Yeah.
And the theme of translating vocabularies and other fiddliness, I then went to look at the issue for the ZFL. Oh man. So
this one.
I'm gonna wait my phone.
Sorry,
up.
Yeah. Updated hard-coded phrases for ZFL.
Yeah. And that's a whole thing. So I was originally expecting it to be a mix between just things that should have been translations that weren't and things that are ref data. But wait, it's that in UIRS, but also in UI directory, which I haven't touched in years. And I'm kind of afraid if I poke it, it'll fall apart because it's a little more rough. So that's going to be fun. But yeah, in addition to the strings in two apps, it also got these. So directory has these custom properties. Those things have labels. And so in their PDF, they have this one section of stuff we don't use, but because it's in English and it just looks sloppy to us, so we'd like to just see it in German. That will require also extra code in the directory app to look up custom properties. And do the same kind of thing we're doing with the ref data to add translations for custom properties. I don't know if that's, I don't know how much of this we should actually do. There was another issue in here where it was, yeah, exactly. Where it, so the some of the settings are generated automatically. Like it's like if the ref data that are showing up in the like flow view or details or the patron request form, all those things are just directly coded in UIRS. But for some of the settings, if you have a setting of type ref data, that it will show you your options based on the ref data. And it does that automatically, kind of based on the setting, because settings have types, and one of the types a setting can have is ref data. And so there's a kant component for displaying a setting, and then it just displays an appropriate control based on which one. And so, and it even does that for each section of settings. And so it would be as much work as all the rest of the fiddliness combined to go in, and I can't remember which in that PDF off the top of my mind right now, but there's one in there where it is one of these ref data settings. And that would require considerably more hassle than the other ones. And so maybe they're not as bothered by the setting as they are by the other stuff. And we can explain that we're trying to get rid of everything canned anyways, and you're in our own settings thing. And couple of years? And are you fine if we just fix the ones that you just actually see and use and just leave off the settings and custom properties for now?
I guess that will be something that Tara and Deborah will discuss with them. I don't think that they
Yeah, so
met this week. Yeah.
I should just try to summarize that all in a comment, and we'll do the other stuff and then move on, and then they can tell me if we need to do that stuff too.
Yeah, I think I haven't really met with. Or I have not met with them at all, like with the ZFL folks. I don't know what they will be amenable to or not. But if you relay that to Tara and Deborah, I'm sure they can suss that out. So,
Okay.
thank you. You have like a couple other things ZFLE in here, I think. Don't know if you'd been paused on some of them for working on these two translation.
Oh, well, like the comma one.
Oh yeah.
That's the only other one. The translation was the other one, I think. So this one, I did implement. So this is the one where I decided that maybe we don't want to drastically change a bunch of brittle-looking code in a previous version and have to deal with cherry-picking back and forth if this fairly significant change causes any kind of issue. Maybe we should just change it from commas to some other delimiter for now to keep it light. And so I did that, but I didn't commit it. Or I mean, I did it on a branch, and I didn't open a PR to merge it yet because I wasn't sure if there were implications for the gateway thingy. And Jakob has responded that there indeed are. Now, I don't know if he's expecting me to do that change on the gateway, or if he's gonna do it, he's kind of on vacation, but kind of not. It's confusing. So, like, it's like he's working on the. So, in his sort of working, sort of not time, he's been doing stuff on the broker because no one else here has been working on the broker, and we need changes to that for Trove. But I don't think any of us have worked on the ZFL gateway either. So plausibly that might fall under his same thing, or I don't know. Maybe I'm just going to leave another comment now that I've seen his reply there to ask if I should change that or he wants to do it.
Yeah.
And then
Yeah, it was
we'll see
kind
where
of
that
like
goes.
the gateway was kind of, it was all Jakob and Yanis and Eddie, right? Working on that, or maybe just mostly
Yeah,
Jakob,
exactly.
I
I've,
don't know.
you know,
Yeah.
I haven't, it hasn't been me anyways, so.
Right.
Yeah, it sounds, or it looks like Jakob's gonna be back next week, so I mean it supposedly. So maybe we'll have
So maybe I shouldn't ask him if I should do it in that issue and just leave that. It seems like
I
it's kind of
mean,
a problem for them. Maybe like this would get it fixed sooner rather than later. I don't know.
yeah, I think it's worth commenting. I think he would appreciate that because even if he is back next week, you know,
Maybe
he
he
might
still wants me
have.
to do it.
Yeah, maybe he still wants you to do it, and also, you know, he might have some other catching up to do and stuff, so. Because I know he has been following along and doing some stuff, but I think he's also been, you know, strategic about what he engages in and what he doesn't. So,
That's quite the
okay.
compromise.
Yeah.
But we appreciate his sacrifice.
Yeah. What about this other one, the implement JSON encoding for item ID? That one
Yeah,
is one
we don't
that
know if we're going to do that yet. That's sort of,
yeah, right.
maybe even
Okay,
put
that's
that
what I
on
thought.
hold or take it out of this branch or something, because it's that's not the immediate issue. The thing that's prioritized is the dealing with it right now in 218. And this is maybe we want to do this going forward, but I don't even know. If changing the delimiter suffices, maybe we're just going to leave that alone until we get rid of ModRS entirely. But that might not be
Okay.
for a while. I don't know. There's occasional bouts of optimism, but
Yeah. And we're still talking with the product committee about Crosslink and reshare and what that would look like. And there's a lot of delicate conversations happening around that, so we'll see.
undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And we also, like, we don't even have people on 119 yet, or even 118. There's still a lot of stuff running 117, right?
Everyone's running 117 except for Zettafi and Trove.
Yeah.
So yeah,
But
and
there's been
I
a ton of changes. So it would be really nice to get to a place where we're all on the same page at least. But just like
yeah.
looking how long that situation has happened. So like realistically, even if we a year or two from now got into a place where we have a broker-ish thing that kind of mostly does what we need and we could begin migrating people to it, the process of that migration is probably also going to drag out for a long time because yeah, it's we're not exactly a giant team of thousands, so we can only do so much.
Yeah, I that's a scary thought, honestly, but
So is trying to maintain this thing when Grails is deprecated and has a vulnerability, and then what do we do?
yeah, I think Zettafi, I think in Tara's update about Zettafi, she was like, and they'd like to be on the latest version of Reshare, and I was like, we don't have a newer version, a newer released version than what they're using. So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you, Jason, for keeping after these and updating and asking what the heck is next on those two that you have in progress.
Optimistically, the things beyond the things that I don't know, I kind of think aren't worth it. I should be able to finish today or tomorrow on that translation one. So should I actually, I mean, I added the BMS one there at one point when it looked like I would have time and it was, there were less things in the queue, but maybe that doesn't make sense as the next thing for me to look at.
I think that might be a fine next step because like that's I think it will just be like a it would be good to get that done while we have the time to do it. We're kind of in a little bit of a little bit of a holding pattern for a minute while we
Well, then we
kind
should
of
look at the
discuss.
errors, actually. Maybe I shouldn't look at the DMS thing because we should look at the more pressing errors that are.
Yeah, exactly. I think that that's fair, and I know that Kurt has some of the error stuff assigned to him. There's also this other situation with the request that fail to send to the broker can't be canceled. We talked a little bit about that last time. That's like more of a user experience one. But I think sorting out, well, part of the reason that this is even a thing is because we're having those errors that are getting caught in the, I think, in
Yeah,
that new
it
channel.
shouldn't fail
So,
to send to the broker, but if we can
right.
make that manual cancel thingy available to them, it'll at least reduce the number of people that need to hassle. I don't know, Ian or someone.
Yeah, well, I mean,
It's
they can
usually Ian.
manually close. I think they can
Okay,
manually
so manually closed
close.
does work. Okay.
Yeah, it's just like
It's not
it.
automatically closing them.
Right, and they, it says it's cancel pending, so they think eventually it's gonna get canceled, but that doesn't happen. So, but yeah, I think you're right. Like, just focusing on the errors is a good idea. So I don't know. Once I know Ian was gonna look at the that most recent like set, but I guess you're a part of that channel too, so if we want to investigate something there, that's probably a good idea. And actually, Kurt, did we get rid of the one that? Oh yeah. I think that got reassigned. That's the one that got reassigned to Ian to do the.
The network or yeah. So yeah,
Yeah.
because it looks like the issue comes from the fact that it's the broker lacking a unique index on its on one of its database fields, which would normally prevent a duplicate request from coming in. It threw an error when it came in. So that would be the place to fix it, as opposed as in ModRS. So but yeah, that took us a little while to figure out what was going on there.
Yeah. Okay. That's right. That's right. We talked about that one a little bit already. So what else do you have going on, Kurt? How are things going?
So I was looking at 156, but we kind of ran into an issue in the fact that we haven't been able to reproduce the error due to both some issues with the dev environment, but also with the fact that Terra doesn't have enough information about how to replicate it. So she's gonna wait till Deborah gets back, I guess on Monday or sometime next week, and we'll pick it up then. So she has asked me to just hold off on that until we can get that sorted out. So in the meantime, I was taking a look at just this one we've been having sitting around for a long time, which was the let me see, 107, which is just the requesting user field needs to be not required when NSIP is off. So that's pretty simple. I'll probably be able to just take care of it this morning. And then there's the one that I'm just going to look at to flip the little change in the default that we talked about earlier with Ian stuff on the DevOps issue. But aside from that, I don't have anything on my plate. So if there's something that would be good to take on, that would be great.
We should fix all the exceptions.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I don't know what we need to do to like make that like actually like a workable project. But I think if you and Jason and if Ian is needed for something, like I think that focusing on the errors would be super helpful, because I think a lot of these like requests out of sync and not being able to cancel requests and stuff is all just because we haven't quite got to the bottom of the errors. So I do, I don't know if you want me to like set up like a ticket just to track like this work, or if you want to take a look at what's in that thread and create your own like versions, or if you want to have a meeting. I'm not sure what is the best like approach to.
Do we have time to talk a little bit about it here?
I mean, I don't have any meeting until 7 p.m., so I can hang out, but I
I
don't
mean,
know what everyone else
I
has
might have
going.
one in 20 minutes, but I think if we chat about it a little bit, it might help, because I think ultimately we need to look through, and there might be several potentially unrelated issues there too.
Yeah, I'm available.
And so we might just divvy it up that way. It's like, well, look why this happening, look why this is happening, and see if they're. But then it could also make more sense just to have one person kind of triage it a bit. And Ian, you mentioned that you had a few things that you might check to see if you could narrow down the source of specifically that connection timeout. I think.
Yeah, I haven't started looking at it yet, but I'm just gonna, try to get a general idea of what's going on. I mean, the errors, in the channel it shows a problem, but it doesn't show any context, so you gotta get
Right.
it first.
So maybe that seems like the most sensible first step. And then from there, with that extra context, we can then look through them a little more closely and try to decide, or if there are, like, you can determine if it's actually like a a software problem or something broader in the system. And then of the remaining errors, then maybe we might divvy it up to see, okay, well, there is that one that's the timer task, and it seems pretty separate from the connection situation or whatever. So those might get separate issues that we could look into in parallel.
Would, since you said the timer task thing, and I can't remember if it's actually related, do you think that the Slack thread, would capture when the email notifications aren't working? Like, will that be surfaced there by chance?
Only if it throws an uncaught exception or we add some, condition or whatever to look
But
for.
there were uncaught exceptions. Somewhat related looking,
Well, then in that case, yes.
they seem to be coming from the background timer task, which could include the email, but yeah, it's not going to contain, oh, we hit this exception specifically while sending,
Right. Okay.
and therefore we didn't send it, and this is the notice that we were trying to send, or yeah, well, it's not going to be quite that specific, but what information we do have kind of doesn't rule that out. And shows that there's some kind of an issue impacting that general area of timer things.
I guess, like, because just wondering, like I think Kurt and Jason, you both are going to be at a point where you have a little bit more time to be diving into this. Like, could it work that instead of Ian starting with like a dig, that you identify things that you want help pulling more information on? Like, could it be done in reverse? Because I imagine Ian's probably got a bunch of things too. So I don't know, just throwing it out there.
Ish. I think Ian has more visibility into some of the other pieces around it.
Yeah,
So it might be.
for this particular one, I don't think we can do much until someone, and I'm happy to do it, looks at the logs a little bit to figure out some context.
Yeah, but Mallory, you're saying that you probably have more on your plate right now than either Kurt or I, so that it kind of makes more sense for us to do it. And I'm wondering if, like, well, this seems like it involves more than just mod RS logs to find that context. But maybe Kurt and I, we can just tackle it together.
That'd be a start.
Yeah, I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying to throw like a wrench into the plan. It was just I'm not sure if there's more than one thing going on in all of this, there's like a ton of these exceptions. So I don't know, maybe they're all the same and it can just start with Ian checking that one particular error. But if there's other ones, like, I'm just wondering if there can be like a separate thread for those, or I don't know. I guess all of this just looks like nothing to me, all of those errors, so I'm not really sure. Yeah.
Ooh, I
Oh.
see the Okapi client involved. That looks like that's been a problem in the past. Anyway.
Okay. Well, Ian, if you want to look into that one error and see if you can pull anything down for Kurt and Jason to look at, that'd be great. And then Kurt and Jason, if there's any other things that you see in here that you think might be worth investigating. Like maybe you two can work on that together. Once you, I know you both have a few things you wanted to tidy up before you could dive into this, but
Although, I mean, should we even? Like, is what we're working on really more important than the fact that production tenants are just dying with exceptions? I mean, that's. And Dedefal's already been waiting a few weeks for these translations.
I mean, that's fine too if you want to shift. I just didn't want to interrupt anything that you were already like sort of nearly done with or just had to wrap up something, you know. But if it's going to be anything that will take longer than that, then yeah, I'd probably pause it so we can look at these errors.
I'll still write that comment to Jakob though, because it does seem like it's really impacting them to not be able to use
Yeah.
the system with things that have a call number that have commas when apparently that's something very common for them.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, if you put that comment on there and then you can turn your focus, like, I think that that would be great.
Okay, so I will. That's what I'm going to do then, is I'm going to put that comment, and then I'm going to summarize the situation of this NFL thing, kind of where I'm at, and then I'll start digging into these errors because that does seem more pressing.
You just want to ping me when you're at that point, and I'll kind
Yeah,
of
we'll do.
I'll do this. I have a few small things I can kind of work on too this morning, and then when we're kind of both at that point, we can take a look together and see if we can find something worth investigating.
Unfortunately, I'm gonna have to bother Ian anyways if it all falls to me because I don't know where to find the production logs for Trove.
Yeah, I'm happy to help dig around, but I guess I don't really have anything to say about it till I do a little bit of that. So I'll try to turn up something to dig into or create a ticket or something.
All right. Thank you all for further digging into this. And if there's anything you want me to like test or do, please let me know and I can do that as well. I will be placing I have a few tickets to triage. So I'll be placing some requests in production this morning. So I don't know if that'll probably not enough activity to actually cause a problem, but I
Oh,
will
it'll be
be in
interesting if
there.
it does, though.
Yeah. But alrighty. I know Jason, you have another meeting to head off to. And just reach out if anybody needs anything. And thank you all for keeping after these errors and all this other stuff. All
Cool.
right. Thank you. Bye.
All right, thanks. Yep.
Thanks, everyone. See you.